Hello, everyone. Today is Monday, April the 3rd. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
And you're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abhidhan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for future episodes, send us a text to 252-582-5028. You can also email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right, and you guys can help us keep this conversation going by liking this podcast, sharing it online, leaving us a good review on iTunes, Spotify, absolutely nothing less than 5 stars, or I will come to your house and I will find you and I will pop you. Do not leave us a 4-star review. That is not cute.
Nothing motivates people like threats.
I don't want to threaten you guys. I'll tell you what. All I'm going to do is I'm going to leave you a link in the description of this podcast. Yes.
We won't come to your house, but do please leave us a nice review.
I need a little bit of Jesus in my life to start my Monday off right. Will you read me the verse of the day?
I would be happy to. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved.
That is one of my favorite passages in scripture, like the opening of Ephesians 2, where it's talking about you were dead in your trespasses. You know, I wasn't lost. I wasn't blind. I wasn't finding myself. Yep. I was completely and utterly dead.
Yeah.
You know, because if I'm lost, I can be found.
Right.
If I'm blind.
Or I can work toward finding my way back.
Yeah, I can find my way back, or I can do something. But if I'm dead, there is no hope.
That's it.
There's nothing. And so it's only God, because he's rich in mercy, who made us alive in Christ. I love that. I've always loved that verse.
That's right. And we're going to talk some more about that later in today's episode, what it means to be made alive. We're headed into Passion Week. We're talking about, you know, Easter, especially in light of the resurrection. So that verse lines up perfectly with what we're going to be talking about today.
I had someone send in a question.
Okay.
And this is, I think, one of my favorite topics to talk about, because I do it literally almost every day. My diet is so poor.
Michaela H.
questioned in, what's the best, I think, because since we talked about fries, people really want to know our opinions on food.
Yeah. Food questions always get, especially
in the South, people love to talk food.
Yep.
Michaela H., what's the best pasta and sauce combination?
Oh, well, this is right up your alley.
Michaela, my girl, I'm going to tell you.
This is my jam.
Ziti.
Okay.
So it's like a small tube.
Okay, yeah.
And, I don't know if it's vodka sauce or if it's just Olive Garden's like five cheese
vodka sauce is very good.
Like al forno sauce, but that junk is right. I would say ziti with vodka sauce is my favorite.
Respectable. All right.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go an Alfredo. I love an Alfredo sauce. Mm-hmm. And with either fettuccine, because that's kind of the classic fettuccine Alfredo, or cheese stuffed tortellini.
Yeah. That's cheese stuffed tortellini is good. So you're always an Alfredo sauce.
We do. Not always. I mean, I like other sauces, but that's my favorite. My number one top tier, like nothing else beats this. Mm-hmm. Fettuccine Alfredo, grilled shrimp, mushrooms, broccoli.
That's almost my wife's exact order.
That is peak.
Yeah.
That is like, that is the goat, that you will not come close to that.
That's almost Ellie's complete exact order, is fettuccine Alfredo with shrimp, mushrooms, and broccoli.
Absolutely. 100%. That is the best. You cannot convince me.
If she doesn't get that, she will get also Alfredo. Ellie is an Alfredo girl. I'm okay with Alfredo. I don't mind it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's creamy. It's thick. It's like, I don't know. I want something kind of savory in my pasta. So I typically go a red sauce, like a marinara, but I'll tell you what I've been into.
Now, do tell.
Y'all are not going to believe me on this. Don't tell anybody I told you this. Spaghetti, it really doesn't matter the pasta noodle. I would say spaghetti, pesto.
Okay.
A nice spaghetti, olive oil, pesto, or even just olive oil and basil.
It's very light.
Great stuff. Yep. Great stuff with a little salt, a little Parmesan cheese. It's so few ingredients.
Yep.
But I'm telling you, it'll change your life. And it's green, so you can trick yourself into thinking it's healthy.
It's a vegetable.
This is a vegetable. I'm eating healthy right now because the spaghetti is green.
My bowl has green stuff in it. Ipso facto, salad.
I'm healthy. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, I saw on TikTok, it was this baked spaghetti recipe.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, you make the meat sauce like normal.
Mm-hmm.
Cook your noodles like normal.
Yeah.
Except you toss your noodles in Alfredo sauce. So you have the meat sauce over here, but you toss your noodles in
Alfredo.
Is it red?
It's like tomato sauce in the red sauce?
Hold on.
Okay.
You're making the sauce separate from the noodles.
Okay, okay.
A third component is you bring in the Alfredo for the noodles. So now you have noodles and Alfredo and your meat sauce is over here.
My question is there tomato sauce in the meat or is it just meat?
Yes, no, it's like a meat sauce.
Okay, okay.
Like marinara.
So say it again, because I'm curious here.
You're making your sauce, however you make your sauce, marinara, meat sauce over here.
Okay, okay.
Cook your noodles and then toss your noodles in Alfredo.
Okay.
Noodles and Alfredo into the baking dish, layer on top the meat sauce, melted cheese, shredded mozzarella, ideally, mozzarella on top of that, baked in the oven. The creamiest, most delicious baked spaghetti you will have in your existence.
But you don't drench. Do you, when you say toss it in the Alfredo, you mean just kind of lightly or like drench it in?
Yeah, just like coated in the Alfredo. Not like, I mean, I'm not talking like there's Alfredo standing in the bottom of the thing. Like you're just using enough Alfredo to coat
to kind of coat the noodles.
Yeah. It makes them creamy underneath the meat sauce.
I feel like that would be a bad move mixing like tomato sauce and Alfredo sauce, but I love pasta so much, I'm going to go for it.
It's so delicious. It's because at the end, you still get the spaghetti. I mean, it's still like spaghetti topped in cheese, but the noodles are just kind of like this creamy.
There's like a creaminess to it.
Underneath the sauce. It's so good.
I'll try it. So I'll definitely try
it. I'm hungry now.
Hey, Michaela, that's a great question. You guys send in your questions because we love talking about this stuff, especially food. We love talking about that on the podcast. And we're going to ask Dr. Shaw later what his, I think he's a fettuccine Alfredo guy.
I think so.
I think he's that or like a lasagna guy. I don't know. I don't really see Dr. Shaw eat a lot of pasta.
Lasagna, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. That's a good one.
I don't know. That's well, like we mentioned, we're going to pose that question to Dr. Shaw toward the end of the episode. But on today's episode, we are continuing our discussion as we're leading toward Easter, looking at Jesus' resurrection. Specifically today, we're talking about the resurrection from the story of Job.
That is the epitome of a bad day. Yeah. What was that like? Kid's story?
Alexander and the terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day.
Yeah, that dude really had a bad day. But not as bad as Job.
Not nearly as bad as Job. But even in that, we can see glimpses of not only God's providence, but we can see glimpses of the resurrection.
That's right.
Pointing ahead toward Jesus and what he did for us. We're going to get Dr. Shaw and bring him in just a minute. But if you have questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text at 252-582-5028 or visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. We'll be back after this.
Well, good morning, afternoon, evening, Clearview Today listeners. My name is John.
And I'm David.
And we just want to take a quick second and let you know about another way that you can keep in touch with Dr. Shaw's work. And that is his weekly podcast series, Sermons by Abadan Shaw, PhD.
As a lot of you may know, or maybe some of you don't know.
If you don't know, you do now.
And if you don't know, then maybe just hop off the podcast.
David,
I'm just playing.
Hop off the podcast.
I'm just playing. Keep listening. Dr. Shaw is actually the lead pastor of Clearview Church in North Carolina. Every single weekend, he preaches expository messages that challenge and inspire us to live God-honoring lives.
Well, one of the four core values of Clearview Church is that we're a Bible-believing church. So every sermon is coming directly from Scripture, which is great because that guarantees that there are timeless truths that are constantly applicable to our lives.
This is a great resource because whether you're driving, whether you're cleaning the house, whether you're working out, you can always benefit from hearing the Word of God spoken into your life. And God's Word is always going to do something new for you every time you hear it. Sometimes it's conviction, and sometimes it's encouragement. But know that every time you listen to God's Word, you're inviting the Holy Spirit to move and work in your life.
You guys can check out the Sermons by Abadan Shaw, PhD podcast. First and foremost, check it out on our church app. That's the Clearview app. You can get that in the Google Play Store. You can get that on iTunes. But you can also find the podcast on the Apple Podcast app or on our website at clearviewbc.org. And listen, if you've got a little extra time on your hands, you just want to do some further reading, you can also read the transcripts of those sermons. Those are available on Dr. Shaw's website, abadanshaw.com. And we're going to leave you guys a little link in the description so you can follow it. But for right now, David, let's hop back in.
All right.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shaw, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Or if you have any questions or suggestions for future episodes, send us a text at 252-582-5028.
That's right. And if you're joining us for the first time today, we want to welcome you, let you know who's talking to you. Dr. Abadan Shaw is a PhD in New Testament textual criticism, professor at Carolina University, author, full-time pastor, and the host of today's show. You can find all of his work at his website. That's abadanshaw.com.
That's right. Dr. Shaw, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, and I'm really excited about the topic today.
Yes.
I just want to tell you that up front.
I was going to say, we're having a great day, but the person we're talking about today is absolutely not having a good day.
He probably is now, but yeah, he was not.
He's good.
At the time that we're talking. We're,
I would say he's probably had the worst day in history.
Yeah. We're talking about Job today, and that may seem a little bit unusual for those of you who track every day with our episodes. You know that we're in this series leading up to Easter. We're talking through Passion Week. So you're like, why are we talking about Job and Passion Week? But it'll make sense once we dive into today's episode. But Dr. Shaw, when we talk about Job, I mean, what comes to our minds is just like Alexander and the terrible, horrible, no good, very bad.
Yeah, right.
He's just, he's down on his luck. He's having a hard time.
Well, I'll just tell you this. I haven't preached through the book of Job yet. Mm. I preach sermons here and there on the book of Job because I'm not ready to preach on that book. I feel like I'm getting ready. I feel like I'm getting to that point where I can do justice to that book. Mm-hmm. And when I say that, I'm not talking about understanding the linguistics, you know, the advancement that have been made in the study of the Hebrew language. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about genre studies and understanding there. I'm not talking about archaeology. I'm not talking about the theological, contextual interpretation, exegesis, hermeneutics. I'm throwing out all the big words.
Right.
Okay. I'm not talking about it in that sense. I'm talking about living or walking in Job's shoes.
Mm-hmm. That's tough.
That is tough.
Yeah. And it's not just like, man, is so many bad things happen to the guy. No, it's the wrestling that he had to do with that fact that God is there, he's walking in God's will, then why are these things happening?
Yep.
And why doesn't God do something about it? Mm-hmm. This is the question of humanity. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the book of Job is quickly has become one of my favorite books in the Bible that I haven't preached from.
Yeah.
And I'm not ready yet.
It's one of those things where like in fiction, you see it a lot where like you put your characters through the ringer to see what they're truly made of. But I think this takes it a step farther because it's not just being put through the ringer. It's everything that made this person who he was like on earth is taken away to demonstrate that he's still who he is because of God.
Right.
You know what I mean? And his faith in God. And I like what you said in the time that you preached the sermon that was kind of regarding Job. You said he's not just finding hope in God, like this big ethereal something out there that gave me all this good stuff in the first place. He's finding his hope in the resurrection of Christ.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is why we wanted to talk about it during this lead up to Easter.
That's right. That's right. And it's a powerful statement he makes. And, you know, most scholars believe that the book of Job is the oldest book in the Bible. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about the oldest information in the Bible, because, of course, then you go to the book of Genesis.
Right.
But the oldest book in the Bible, most scholars agree that is the book of Job.
Wow.
How amazing that Job is regarded as the oldest book in the Bible, and yet, as we're going to talk about today, he's finding his hope not just in, you know, God's existence, but in the resurrection that's coming.
Right.
The oldest book in the Bible, and the resurrection is already glimpsed there.
The ultimate vindication for what we go through life, why is this happening? Many of our listeners, our viewers are probably struggling with this in their lives where bad things happen to you. I'm not saying for a moment that you are a perfect person.
Right.
Or, you know, you've never made mistakes. No, you've made your mistakes. You're not perfect. But things happen to you that were so unjust, that make no sense at all. Okay. Now, somebody may say, well, it does make sense. I mean, I can connect the dots here.
Right.
But if you think about Job's life, man, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
But if you listen to the conversations that have taken place between God and Satan, that's when you go, oh, that does make sense. And in this side, on this side of heaven, we may not be vindicated, but on the other side, we will be.
Well, you said something to me in the past that's really gotten me through a lot of hard times. We're like, oh, I've come to you talking about, you know, things that are happening in life and things that I'm going through and things that I'm not thinking straight on. And you said, you know, trials have this way of clarifying what you really believe about God and about your life and about the future. And it gives you that deeper understanding of God's plan.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just something to grit your teeth and get through.
Right.
Because then that takes the agency away from God. Why? It's not just a test of faith. Just hang on, and then you'll get through it.
Yeah.
It's working towards something.
Yeah.
And sometimes that something is just a better understanding of who God is.
Yeah. Now, you have to grit your teeth to get through it,
mm-hmm.
Because you're going to go through a dark time like Job did,
mm-hmm.
where it was not the all the pleasures of life coming from God. I'm not talking about the pleasures of life that come from the enemy,
right,
or the world or our flesh. No, the pleasures that come from God, like, oh man, I prayed for this and this happened. Mm. Isn't God great? You know, and I'm like, yeah, that's wonderful. That's great. Man, life is working great. Like one gentleman we know is like, man, my best day, you know? And I'm like, yes. I don't know if you're telling the truth or not. Maybe you're kind of, you know, forcing your way
right
to feel that way.
Right.
But if you say it loud enough and long enough and passionate enough that
maybe
you will start feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's what's happening. I don't know. But we're not talking about those things,
right,
mm-hmm.
even if they're coming from God. We're talking about where there's nothing coming from God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good things are happening, but personally, individually, you're struggling. What do you do? That's where you have to grit your teeth and push through.
That's right.
Because there is a different kind of pleasure, and that's the pleasure of doing God's will.
Mm-hmm.
That is a pleasure of doing God's will. And that does not come with, you know, exhilarating emotions or even the joy. You know, a lot of series are done on joy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, man, I got that deep-seated joy. But there'll be times in your life where you won't have that.
Yeah.
There won't be that feeling of joy.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, it's different from happiness. You know, happiness is what's happening to you. Joy, I hear what you're saying, but you're still coming back to that emotion. You're still coming back to that little, you know, well of water that is swishing around inside of you, right?
Yeah.
We're not talking about a waterfall, but you're still talking about the little, you know, oasis.
Yeah, you're just splashing around.
Splashing
that
around.
Shallow.
Yeah. What if there's nothing there but dryness?
Mm.
Now what do you do?
Yeah.
Most of God's people pushed through.
That's right.
When there was nothing but desert.
And I appreciate that you say that, because I would imagine there's a lot of people who are listening, a lot of people who are watching that are maybe in one of those seasons right now. They're going through a season of dryness. I mean, that's a great way to put it. And Job went through all of this, but he didn't go through it with a smile on his face.
He
didn't go through it cheering and singing.
Yeah, like when his friends came down, they're like, "How are you doing, Job? This is the best day of my life. This is it, boys.
My day
is here."
Job wrestled and he stayed faithful to God, but it was a struggle. I mean,
it was a struggle.
He fought through. I mean, serious stuff that we can't even imagine.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is, and I think we're getting away from this show, but that's okay.
I love it. This is great.
Everything that you need is going to be provided.
Mm-hmm.
When you're going through that, all that you need will be provided for you.
Yeah.
God is going to provide you with the energy you need, the strength that you need, the wisdom that you need, the discernment that you need, right people at the right time saying the right thing in your life. You will have all that.
That's right.
So don't think that this is just, God is just going to abandon you. But if you are looking for the pleasure of, you know, man, God's blessings everywhere, that's not there.
Mm-hmm.
Even the little, you know, water in that bucket of your heart, the swishing around in there, it's not about happenings and happiness. It's just about the joy. Maybe that's not even there. Your bucket is dry.
Yeah. Yep.
That's what we're talking about here.
Yep.
That's why you see why I'm not ready to write on the book of Job.
Yeah, so much.
I'm not ready
so
to
much.
Preach on that.
I mean, just thinking about, you know, Job and what he dealt with and how he must have struggled and how he had these people who were around him trying to advise him and trying to, you know, speak maybe comfort into his life, maybe some other ulterior motives.
Well, it's kind of like what you said. It was like you're bringing up something from a dry well. Like there's going to be people in your life who you feel like they're godly people,
yeah.
but they themselves are dry. Like they're trying to help you, but it's not coming
just,
from God.
And just by using the word joy,
mm-hmm.
you know, we know Paul uses that.
Mm-hmm.
What we're saying is this comedy show, stand-up comedy, or the sitcom laughter is not there, but you have the joy, don't
right.
you?
Right.
No, there are times even that is very dry,
mm-hmm.
you know? So a lot of our messages that try to distinguish between happiness and joy, I think in reality, if people are deathly honest, mm-hmm. they will tell you, no, I don't even have that.
Well, yeah, because it became such a, like you were saying, it became such like a buzzword where like, hey, listen, you might not always be happy, but you have to have joy. If the Holy Spirit's in you, you got joy. So people are like, oh, well, I better say that I have it.
Yeah. So you just smile and you say, man, yeah, I've got a great day today, man.
I've got the joy down in my heart.
Just plaster because that, if I don't, that means
there's something wrong with me.
Right. Mm-hmm. But what if we are misunderstanding?
Yeah. That's right.
And Job's book tells us that, you know, because he had three friends, of course, right? Mm-hmm. He had Eliphaz, the Temanite, Bildad, the Shuhite, Zophar, the Namathite. Eliphaz was the oldest of the group and seemed to have more sense than the others, mm-hmm. right? And even though he showed Job respect, he didn't have much compassion on him.
Yeah. Mm.
In his wise view, his friend Job was a good man who had lost his way. And that's why bad things were happening to him.
Kind of blame shifting a little bit.
Right. You need to examine your heart, brother.
Oh, you know. Well, listen, only you know. That's between you and God. But yeah. but take a deep
breath. And I know you're not going to be honest with me, so that's okay.
I would encourage you to use this as a time of repentance.
Yeah.
Oh, gross. That's gross.
But isn't that true how there are people in our lives who do that? Mm-hmm. And you go, okay. Well,
I guess I've sinned. I'll go back and look.
Yeah. And then there is Bildad the Shuhite. In his view, Job was committing blasphemy by questioning the justice of God against him. Mm-hmm. I mean, don't we have people like that who say, like, how dare you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who do you think you
are? This is God's plan. Yeah. This is God's plan. He's got a plan for you.
Yeah, that's right. And he told Job that his family got what they deserved. Oh, man. And he keeps running his mouth, then he will also get what he deserved from God, which is more pain and suffering.
This is free for anyone who's listening. That is not a good piece of advice to give to someone who's struggling.
Someone's out
Maybe
there like,
your family
oh,
got what they deserve. Like, no. Don't write, cross that off your list.
In his view, Job should either repent or die because that's what happens to wicked people.
Oh, yeah. No, that's bad.
Wow. So, in other words, Job was a wicked man who was getting his due and he needed to repent immediately.
And you said these people were his friends, right?
It was his friends.
These were his friends. Okay.
Yikes.
Okay. These weren't his enemies.
Now, sometimes this is what happens in church. Mm. This is what happens from the pulpit. Then there are people in our lives who are well-meaning people, but they say and do things that you go... And many times I think we take it. We're like, well, they must be right. Mm-hmm. If you don't have enough spiritual discernment and the Holy Spirit working in your life, you'll go along with their garbage and go, I guess they're right. Mm-hmm. Then there are people in our life who are just not terribly mean. Mm-hmm. Not like they're coming to you with a knife. But they like the fact that you're squirming a little bit right now.
Yeah. Because I had to go through this at some point. It's not right unless you do it too.
They feel like you need to be fixed up a little bit. So this is a good thing for
this
you.
This is a good thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. I've felt people like that where it's like.
And I'm praying for you, brother.
Yep.
I'm there. Call me sometime.
When the corner of their mouth just curls up just a little bit.
It's almost like they deserve that.
Yeah. This is, And this is how you mature. This is going to mature you.
Yeah.
And I'm going to oversee that.
And then there's a next level, which is like flat out mean. Mm-hmm. They're just loving the fact that you're going through it and they're not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you do?
I don't know. What did Job do?
This, I mean, if his bucket was already dry, this is like baked in the sun, like water will never enter the bucket again. I know, right? Despair.
They like lit a fire inside. Yeah. And made sure it never, no more moisture in that bucket at all.
What do we learn from, how do we handle this?
If I may say it this way without any sense of pride or arrogance, this is the normal Christian life of the truly godly people. Mm. When you're really walking with God, this is what you go through.
That's right.
And it's not fun.
And just hearing that is comforting. Mm-hmm. Just hearing that you're not alone in that. I mean, people may fall into that thinking of maybe I did do something to deserve this. Maybe maybe this is just, you know, punishment for something that I have done. But just to hear you say, no, this is the normal Christian life for people who are following after God. This is what can be expected.
There's a heart behind it because it's one thing to say, hey, Lynn, God never promised it'd be easy, which is pretty much just saying, stop complaining, buck up,
right.
You'll be all right. There's another thing to say, hey, this is normal. You're on track. This is a good.
This is your test.
Yeah, I know it doesn't feel good, but this is a good sign that God is working and moving in your life.
He's going to reveal himself to you mm-hmm. in a way that others won't be able to see. Mm-hmm. It's okay. Keep walking. You may not even be vindicated in this life, and that's also okay. Because that's some of the hardest things to deal with. Because Job, at least he got everything back, right? But in reality, right? In reality, we also know that there are times you don't get everything back. Mm-hmm. Some of our the godliest people on the planet since the beginning of time died without getting everything back.
Yeah.
So I want us to remember that, yes, God is not out there just waiting to make us feel miserable, as some people think. No, that's not true at all. But at the same time, he allows us to go through these things for a reason.
Yeah.
And Job had a glimpse of God. In verse 25, Job 19:25, he says, "For I know that my Redeemer lives."
Beautiful.
You know, you're going through this. It is to help you know that your Redeemer is alive.
It's interesting because I think of Redeemer and I think of Christ on the cross. That's where I typically hear the Redeemer.
Yeah.
He and you kind of just mentioned it. He had that glimpse of it. But I wonder where his mind is when he's saying, my Redeemer. Yeah. He's buying me back. He's purchasing me back.
Mm-hmm. The word is goel in Hebrew. It has two meanings in the Old Testament. First, it's kind of a criminal meaning. Mm-hmm. If someone were to kill a person, the nearest family members was responsible for bringing justice. Not revenge, but justice to that person. The second is a civil meaning. If a person died and lost their inheritance, the nearest family member was responsible for buying back and retrieving the property. What Job is saying here, okay, he is saying there is someone very close to me, my family, who is going to redeem and win back what has been lost.
Wow.
And how do we know who he is talking about? Very next verse says what? Verse 25.
And he shall stand at last on the earth.
In the end, he will stand on the dust. Now, what is that dust? You know, we're talking about the very dust that covers the grave of Job. Jesus is going to stand on top of that.
Wow.
Right? And he is going to do for Job what only a close goel can do. He will redeem him. He will vindicate him. And verse 26 says, "And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see
God. Yeah, that's the
resurrection.
That is the resurrection.
Yeah.
See, Jesus hasn't come yet, but the promise has already been given since the Garden of Eden that someone is coming who is going to crush the head of the serpent, the same serpent who came and accused Job in front of God and said, you know, if you take this away, he'll deny you.
Yeah.
He will deny you. If you make him a parched and dry sandy ground, he was going to deny you. He's going to turn on you.
Mm-hmm.
And Job didn't. But how was he vindicated? That was not in this life. Of course, he got a lot of stuff back. We think that's the vindication.
Mm-hmm.
No. That's not the vindication. The real vindication is that after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God.
And people try to use that vagueness. Well, but people in the Old Testament, all they had to do was believe. It went more than believing. He understood the I mean, that shows he understood the resurrection.
What he's saying is, in that moment, and there's so much more to the book of Job than just this point, right? There's so much more. Job knew this much, that he was with God. And when death came, that's when it'll be proven that he was on the right track.
Mm-hmm.
Even if this in this life, everybody said, you have a problem. You're the problem. Remember somebody said, you got a bullseye.
Yep.
Okay. Get on the other side.
Yeah.
And you'll see that I will see God.
Man.
Amen. I love that assurance. I love that hope. If you guys enjoyed today's topic, if you have suggestions for future topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028, or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, and you can partner with us financially on that same website. We're grateful to have all of you alongside as teammates as we seek to impact the nations with the gospel of Jesus.
That's right. This morning, we had a question coming in from Michaela H. Dr. Shaw, what's the best pasta and sauce combination?
Oh,
ooh.
Fettuccine with Alfredo, sauce, and add shrimp to it.
Yum. Shrimp Alfredo.
That sounds like my wife's normal order. Shrimp, broccoli,
delicious.
Yep.
That is my favorite.
Very cool. Love it.
We love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow on Clearview Today.